There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Unpacking the Toolbox is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio.
I was just going to say, I learned how to say it in Spanish.
Yes.
Desempacando la caja de herramientas. That's how you say unpacking the toolbox.
Okay, take me through that slowly. What?
Desempacando. Desempacando. La caja.
La caja.
De herramientas.
De herramientas.
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 Yes. Desempacando la caja de herramientas.
Oh, God, doesn't that sound so sexy? Gee, Guillermo, just speak to me in Espanol.
We've talked about this. We've tried, and it lasted for, like, not even a minute.
Not even a second.
You were like, I don't know what you're saying.
I'm just a dumb actor that only speaks English. Okay, we're starting this podcast today. At the time of this recording, everyone's dropping like flies between flu, cold, RSV, which is like a kid cough that's a nightmare and running rampant right now. Hand, foot,
really?
Mouth is a real big one in the
geez.
Nursery schools. It's where they get really weird bumps and shit on their penis, butts,
gross.
Mouth,
no.
In their mouths. It's insane. It's like, I was going to segue into talking about all the different measures we used to take to not get sick on Scandal. Both my kids last night got positive flu tests. You can keep that in the podcast. You can keep that.
They're like, she's dying, Mom!
Can you hear her screaming?
Yeah.
Okay, Vera, come in for 1 second. This is just going to how this podcast is going to be amazing today.
Hey, look, say hi. We're just doing work here. We're talking about Scandal. You want more yogurt? Yeah. You want to go ask your dad for that?
How about you ask your dad who's laying on the couch scratching his balls?
You want to say hi? Okay, bye-bye. I love you. Both? Okay, bye-bye.
Any of these shows that do, you know, 18 to 22 episodes, mm-hmm. 9-day episodes, you're shooting at the least 14 hours a day. Like, we barely ever did 12-hour days, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
There is no option of getting sick.
You can't get sick, yeah.
I mean, I have full faith that Mary Howard, our line producer, could have made the show go post-COVID world, but like, you know, we used to show up sick to work
regardless. All the time. Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, Carrie could not fall down, and she had two little ones in the later seasons of Scandal who, like, as soon as your kids start going to nursery school, you're fucked. Like, it's just like every other day is diarrhea, vomiting, colds, like, whatever. And I remember her getting like, either the flu or close to the flu, like a million times over.
Oh, yeah.
And I just was running around set passing out every homeopathic potions
and shit. They used to, once they sent a doctor to my house to do like a house call because I had like a fever and I was in the middle of shooting one of like the big episodes. Oh, yeah. And she gave me like that Z-Pack and some like shots or some shit. Because like you said, we just couldn't get sick. That, you know, not showing up wasn't an option. We couldn't be like, can't come in today. Like, I'm, you know.
I kind of miss those scandal days where, like, your wellness and well-being was everybody else's responsibility, too. So you could just, like, text Mary Howard and be like, I think I have a fever. You have to send a doctor to my house to get me a Z-Pack. It's like now that we're regular mortals walking around the planet, we have to figure out how to get our own damn prescriptions. So when you hear me and G in this episode just clearing our throats a lot and sucking on our own snot, we have to
Oh my God, that's so funny.
This is one of the most chock full episodes I think we have ever done to date.
Yes, yes. But it's such a fun episode. Like, I remember having so much fun shooting this particular episode.
This episode, 203, is what we're talking about today, people. It is called Hunting Season. It aired on October 18th in 2012. It was written by Matt Byrne, again, one of the go-to scandal writers who also wrote on Inventing Anna. It was directed by Ron Underwood.
Do you remember Ron Underwood?
Yes, but he did a great job.
He really did. Do you remember, Katie, at one point, I think when we wrapped or in the middle of shooting, Columbus picked him up and like jostled him around because Ron is a little guy. I love little guys.
Listen.
I'm a little guy too. But I remember Columbus just grabbing him and lifting him up in the air. And Ron was like, oh boy, what's happening? He was so uncomfortable.
I feel like Ron was like 5'6".
Yes, probably.
He's adorable. He's like adorable looking. So wonderful. He gives off a vibe of like someone you just sort of want to pick up and carry around in your pocket.
And Ron also directed Tremors, which is a really old school famous horror film. You know me and my horror.
Yo, Guillermo, we got to start a drinking game that involves the Scandal Rewatch podcast and like horror backstory situations. Okay. Guest stars on this episode are incredible. We've got Norm Lewis as Senator Edison Davis, Greg Henry as Hollis Doyle, Brenda Song as Alyssa, Brian Letcher as Tom, Tony Westmoreland as Hal, Wendy Davis as Kimberly Mitchell, Stephen W. Bailey as Noah Elliott, Patrick Fischler as Artie Hornbacher, and Ann Cusack. Holy shit, do they look alike.
Yeah.
Ooh, the Cusacks. As one of the three, I think there's three of them. We're going to get into that later. As NSA Director Corinne Stark.
Yes.
Okay, I'll start. Synopsis. Okay. Tensions are running high at Olivia Pope and Associates due to questions about Quinn's background and when an NSA analyst, Artie Hornbacher, drops a bombshell claiming that the government is using a new technology called Thorngate to spy on its citizens. Olivia is caught off guard with how far up this scandal goes and distracted by her problems with Fitz. At the White House, Cyrus has to try and keep Fitz calm and collected when Olivia's former flame, Senator Edison Davis, shows up. Melly is happy that things are going good with her and Fitz now until she learns that he had Olivia brought to him, so she threatens Fitz. Meanwhile, David Rosen, with the help of his former assistant, dig deeper into his conspiracy theory about how he lost his case against Quinn and what Olivia's involvement might be.
Oh, yeah. That's what's up. That was good.
Bueno.
Me gusta mucho.
Gracias, mi amor, mi esposo, mi... What's boyfriend?
Mi amigo, mi novio, mi puto.
Mi puto. What's puto mean again?
Puto is my little slut.
Oh, I'm going to call you that from now on. I should know that. What is wrong with me? Okay. Yo, let's get into this episode. So much happens. God, it's solid. It's just so solid. And we've got the introduction of the one and only Norm Lewis.
Yes.
As Senator Edison Davis. Like, you have your horror stuff and every single guest star and director that come on that was a horror person. But when Norm Lewis, king of musical theater, walked on as Olivia Pope's ex-boyfriend, I shit myself. Then I called Adam, who is also my husband, a big musical theater nerd. I have watched Norm Lewis. I mean, Norm Lewis was the first Black Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah.
He was in the 25th anniversary concert of Les Miserables.
Yeah.
You're welcome, everybody. I saw in Porgy and Bess, starring Shondaland family Audra McDonald.
Yeah.
He is incredible.
He was in Miss Saigon, Sweeney Todd.
He was in Miss Saigon.
Chicago, Dreamgirls. Yeah.
Guys, amazing. This guy is a musical theater icon. His voice is that of a gift from angels.
I think he even sang to us, Katie. I remember being on set and he sang to us. Do you remember that?
Yeah, what did he sing?
I don't remember. I just remember it sort of happening. I don't even remember who was there.
Let them hear you. I think he said, did he sing God on High? Did he sing a song from Les Mis?
Maybe.
I do remember wow, thank God you have a good memory, Guillermo, because yeah. I do remember the entire cast and crew all coming into Olivia Pope and Associates around the conference table because yeah. Norm was like, yeah, I'll sing you guys a little something.
Ugh.
He's so good. And I feel like in the beginning, this top part of Scandal where the episode opens and he's like on our fake news channel, which yes. was called BNC. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Our fake news network station on Scandal was called BNC. Mm-hmm. And Edison is on and he's talking about how the president's fucking up and he's doing a bad job. And this is all the things Edison thinks he should do because he's a powerful senator. Olivia calls him and is like, dude, you're wearing pinstripes. No one yes. can even hear what you're saying when your shirt is doing a weird yes. jumpy thing
your
on the camera.
Your suit is moving back and forth.
Which is a real thing.
Oh, yeah. I watch I Love Lucy and back in the day, they used to wear pinstripes. I remember those episodes and being so annoyed because I was like, you know, their clothing is moving. It's so distracting.
Wow.
So it's funny that, they, you know, that he wore that like in modern times now.
And then we kind of learn that they've like we're like, wait, what is this relationship? Who is this new guy?
Yes.
There's obviously history there. What
Something's
the hell?
Up there. Yeah.
So we get the case of the week, which is this ringer of an actor
yes.
playing Artie Hornbacher. By Patrick Fischler. And holy shit, is this one hell of a guest star and one hell of a performance. And if someone's going to get an Emmy for a guest star performance, the fact that this dude was not nominated is a crime.
Yo, talk about fitting in right away. This little fucker, I remember walking in, seeing him standing on that on our conference table at OPA and be just being like, this dude is so freaking good. He just fit right in and had that scandal pace down and was just
and
on point.
The stakes were
yes,
so high.
Yes, the stakes were high. Yep.
Now, I wrote in my notes when I was rewatching this episode. So, like, you know, we're all back in OPA. Quinn's out of living at Olivia's apartment. She's out of jail. Everyone's being a bitch to her, mostly fucking
Abby.
Like, yeah. Quinn walks in. She's back with, like, hey, guys, I'm back at work. Like, will you take me back? I've totally let go of the Lindsay Dwyer identity, and I am Quinn Perkins, and here's your coffee. And Harrison is like, hey, welcome back, and gives me, like, a lovely Harrison kiss on the cheek.
Yes.
And then Abby's like, yeah, welcome back, Lindsay. And she's such a bitch. And then we walk into the office, and Artie, like you said, is standing on the table. Was that his choice, or was that written in the script?
I don't remember. Whatever it was brilliant. Just that image of him just standing on this table, fidgeting with the light fixture above, you know, because he's freaking out about shit being bugged. Yeah, I don't remember whose idea that was. So good, though. So good. Maybe it was Ron's idea. Ron Underwood was like, get on the table.
Maybe it was little baby Bubby Ron.
He said, get up on that table.
But I love his performance. We all walk in and he starts talking about this thing called Thorngate, which is some insane intelligence shit. How would you even describe this, hacker Guillermo?
Yeah, yeah. They're spying on citizens. It's not even like, you know, like world leaders or potential like terrorists or people that you feel like the government would be spying on just to, you know, watch their backs. Thorngate, they're literally spying on just your common man or woman. They're spying on them. And
this dude,
he brings in this external drive, right? And plugs it in. And then we see, I think the first person that we see Thorngate like alive and working was with Cyrus, right? We see Cyrus in the White House.
Yeah.
And he's chatting about the president. He's talking to Hollis Doyle.
I think this is when we first learn that Cyrus's middle name is Cyrus Rutherford Bean.
Correct.
Because it's up on your computer.
Yeah.
And this is a fun fact. Like, you know, Artie's like, okay, pick anybody. I swear, like right now, like Thorngate is alive and well right now. Say anybody's name. We can fucking cue into them right now and see where they're at. And she's like, fine. Cyrus Rutherford Bean. Oh my God. Rutherford. I did not do a deep dive on where that could possibly come from, but it's.
I did not either.
Okay.
I did not either.
Maybe someday. But throwing it to Cyrus Rutherford Bean as we as OPA breaks into the case to figure out about Thorngate and what we do about it. The song on the background is At the Car Wash.
At the car wash,
which I know for a fucking fact that is Jeff Perry's favorite song of all time.
You gotta be kidding me.
No!
Oh my God. Just the fact that that's Jeff Perry's favorite song has made my freaking day. My rainy, rainy, gloomy day has brightened it up. What?
He told me that once. And he was like, I don't know if it was while watching this episode and like writing down scandal tweets, but in my memory, Car Wash is Jeff Perry's favorite song of all fucking time.
Oh,
and
my God.
I just picture him driving around, blasting
doing the shuffle,
car
the
wash.
Slap down to that song. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's
it's a great,
a fun
it's
fact.
A great background song for all of us. And we're doing all our due diligence to figure out about Thorngate and who knows about it and all this crap. And Olivia screams at all of us to get Artie out.
And the reason why Olivia freaks out and orders us all to get Artie to a safe place is because she has a meeting with Corinne, the NSA director. And Corinne doesn't blink an eye when Olivia brings up Thorngate. And that sort of puts up a red flag for Olivia. And she's like, oh, shit, something's up. This woman is trying to cover something up. And can we just talk really quickly? The woman that plays
director
Corinne.
The Corinne Stark is
yes.
Anne freaking Cusack.
Anne Cusack.
Who is, I don't know what sibling line she's in with.
John and Joan.
And Joan. Is
yes.
there another one? Wait, let me go.
I don't, there might be. They might not be actors, though.
Okay, there's Joan Cusack, obviously, so fucking famous, so amazing.
Yeah.
There's John Cusack. Oh, so they both get names that start with J, and poor ass Anne gets just an, like, what the hell? There's only Anne and Joan and John.
And John.
That's it.
I
yeah,
love it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're from Evanston, Illinois.
Really quickly, Anne Cusack, so wonderful in this role, but also she's been in movies like Stigmata, which is another amazing horror film with Patricia Arquette. She was in The Birdcage. But the one film that she's in, which she is just heartbreaking and stellar in it, is A League of Their Own. She's
who
in
she
A League
that?
Of Their Own. She plays
who?
Shirley Baker, the one baseball player, the left fielder, who in the beginning of the film, when they put up, you know, the list of the women that made it on the team, and she makes it, but she can't read. So she can't find her name. And it's
oh
the most
God,
heart-wrenching scene in that movie. It's so beautiful. And she's so lovely in that scene
and
so emotional.
And
Gina Davis.
Gina Davis takes Anne Cusack to the side and is like, honey, can you like not read it?
Yeah.
I don't
yeah.
know. And then she goes and she's like, let's go
she's
find
like,
your name
let's
together.
Go
and they
find
take
your
her
name.
Little finger and they like scroll it down
yeah.
the list that's been put up on the wall.
And then she tells her, you made it. You made it. Oh,
oh my
yes.
God.
So good.
Everywhere.
Yes, me too. Me too. Shout out to Anne Cusack. We love
Shout
you.
Shout out to Anne Cusack. We love
yeah.
you. You're a fucking superstar. Okay. Brenda Song is another guest star who's incredible. She plays Alyssa, David Rosen's assistant, but she comes in to David's apartment and sort of sees that he's in his underwear, which I seeing Josh Brolin in his underwear is like hilarious to me.
Like, I wish they were like tidy whities though. They, you know, they were like boxers, so it looks like shorts.
Yeah.
I kind of wish they were like tidy whities because
oh
that'd be
God,
funny.
That would have been so funny
with like a
but
little. Stain oh, like, on the front yeah, and the back.
Yeah, and like cartoons, like Tweety Birds
yes,
or something
yes.
stupid.
Like underoos. Remember underoos?
Yes, like underoos. But she comes in and she sees that David Rosen's his entire like beautiful mind ass wall of crazy. And the two of them spend the whole episode sort of really getting to the bottom of how Quinn Perkins got off so easily from the case that like ruined his entire life.
She's a black belt in Taekwondo. Who knew? Can you believe that? Yeah.
All
and
I
then,
remember,
of course, she was like most people know her
Disney.
Because she was in The Suite Life of Zack and Cody.
Yeah. yeah. And I remember sitting next to her in the hair and makeup trailer when she would come to work. I think a lot of actors, when they start off as like kid actors on the Disney show, they're all sort of like panicked about, you know, how am I going to transition out of this? I'm a real actor. Like, I want to work in other ways. And then some even like kind of can rebel and be like, look how not Disney I am.
Yeah.
So Brenda has a shitload of tattoos. I'm talking like in between
Get
every.
Out.
Oh, yeah. In between every single finger, she has a tattoo.
Oh,
like
dip,
in
I
between
love it.
Each finger on her fingers, she has tattoos. And I remember sitting next to her in the hair and makeup trailer and she had to get them all covered
all
up.
Covered up.
Like every day because they're on her hands. Like it's
yes.
one thing if you have a lot of tattoos on your body, but you wear clothes on the show, like whatever.
Yeah.
But they were on her actual fucking hands. And I remember her saying something to the extent of like, you know, I was on a Disney show and then I like did my phase of like, I'm not a goody two shoe. Like I'm not a Disney kid. I'm not that.
She got tatted up. She was like, I'm going to get tatted up.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, so Brenda Song and Macaulay Culkin are getting married after 4 years of dating.
No.
So she's getting married to Macaulay Culkin.
Well, now, as we speak, this is present day, they're about to get married?
Yeah.
What?
I really
love that.
Wait. Oh. On January 26th, People reported that Macaulay Culkin and Brenda Song are engaged. The adorable couple who welcomed their first child back in April 2021 have kept most of their relationship pretty private since they started dating in 2017. Wow.
That's a really good, they kept their incognito. Yup. Like nobody knew. I didn't know about that.
Yeah. Those are two. And those are some child stars, man.
Hell yeah. Brenda, you were the best on our freaking show. Brenda's one of the guest stars that did come back few times on our show, right?
Yep.
So good.
Go get a snack and we'll be right back.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
Okay, what is your next sections of this episode, G, that you were like, this is the shit?
Yeah, well, I wanted to talk really quickly about the safe house, where we shot the safe house, where we take Artie Hornbacher. It's like Hux.
Yes, Guillermo.
Like the first time we see like Hux, like, you know, super like private, out of the way, like safe house where we take our clients sometimes. And it was so much fun shooting there. It was always so much fun going and shooting on location because it felt like we just all had so much fun. We were like little kids when we got to leave the OPA set, right?
That safe house was not on a stage? No.
It might have been on a stage, but it wasn't at Sunset Gower.
No, right.
So it was somewhere else is that's what I remember.
But God, I do remember shooting it and it was so cool. Like, so basically this is an underground sub-level fucking thing that Olivia Pope and Associates owns that you sort of, it's Huck's place or something?
Yeah, but it's Huck's place. I feel like Huck's had this spot for a minute. You know what I mean?
I like
but
that
he
choice.
Was homeless for a while. So possibly OPA, Olivia paid for it and, you know, to create it and to have it. But
I do remember it being so cool and like they would always like add smoke to it, maybe. Am I making that up? So, like just so that the lighting always looked like kind of eerie and sort of like underground and like it's not so clear and it's really dark and dingy. But it was very cool. It was very, very cool.
Yeah, it was super fun shooting down there.
So Artie's at the safe house. Quinn and Huck are there watching him. Huck is under like mad stress. To like break
so
into
stressed.
Thorngate and like copy it or some shit. I don't know what hacking crap you're doing, but you're doing something.
Yeah. Well, when they first pop in that external drive that Artie brings to OPA, it sort of fizzles out and a firewall goes up. And now Huck has to break into that firewall. So we have evidence to be able then to go to the authorities and be like, look, this Thorngate is happening and it's fucked up. Here's the evidence. So that's what Huck is trying to do. And you know, yeah, like you said, he's super stressed because it's, you know, it's extremely difficult.
Look at you, firewall, with that fucking terminology.
Big words, firewall. Firewall.
I'm so into it. I haven't said firewall since we shot Scandal. That's for damn sure. And my favorite scene of this episode, skipping a little ahead, is Fitz is so pissed because they've gotten pics. He's gotten pics that Edison and Olivia are talking again. He is not happy about it. And so he summons Olivia at 5 o'clock in the morning. The Secret Service shows up and they say, get in the fucking car. And they take her all the way out to the woods somewhere where Fitz is hunting. The scene, you know, which is for the title of the episode, Hunting Season, is the hottest, best, angriest, most amazing scene.
So good.
Where like Fitz like puts her on a rock and takes off her high heels. Puts her in boots, is like lacing him up all aggressively, and they're looking at each other with like longing and sadness and anger, and it's so complicated, and the two of them are so good, and he's got a gun, and she's like, give me a gun, and he's like, no, I have a gun, and they're marching through the woods, and she's following him, and they're yelling at each other, and it's just so cool.
Oh, it's so good. And before she gets out of the car, she's sitting in the car like, I'm not getting out. Who do you think you are summoning me to wherever you are?
Yeah.
And he says, get out of the car, Olivia!
Yeah. And
like, so loud. Oh, my God. But it was so sexy, like you said. It was so hot. And I think reason, like, I was thinking about it, I was like, Olivia wouldn't put up with that shit. But I think the reason she finds it so hot, because she's like, oh, look at Fitz being all tough and shit. She's like, I will fuck you up, motherfucker. You go ahead and be dominant all you want, and it's hot, and I'm going to kiss you later and make out. But at the same time, I'm going to fuck you up if you overstep. Do you know what I mean? Like, totally. I feel that vibe from her. Like, she's the boss. She's like, okay,
and also,
go ahead and yell at me.
She's also like, fuck, I have to, like, figure out this Thorngate shit.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. There's so many moving pieces.
And he's like, don't you dare fucking look into fucking Thorngate. Like, you are fucking with national fucking security, and you're being a traitor to your country. And she's like, you're fucking spying on people, and you're a dick. And he's like, and you're going to your ex-boyfriend. And she's like, you know about my fucking ex-boyfriend? And then, without waiting too long, praise be, they're making up against a fucking tree.
Next thing you know, on the quickness, they're just making out on the tree.
And like Tom and Hal and the Secret Service just like turn their back.
Yes.
It's so awkward and uncomfortable and hot and wonderful.
It made me think, like, you imagine all the shit that goes down, like, with presidents, right? Like, the shit, like, there's got to be moments where presidents are like, I don't give a fuck. This is what I'm doing. Like that scene when Fitz wants to leave the White House. Yeah. I forget what episode it was in. And he's just like, I need to get out and do what I want to do just for, you know, an hour or two.
Yeah.
But it makes you think, man, all the shit that those Secret Service guys must see, and women, right?
Yep.
Oh, so
I just wrote
crazy
walk and talk in the damn woods.
But and also, this is where Olivia reveals to Fitz that they know about the late night phone calls to the White House, right? And that's sort of what stops him, too. And he's like, wait a minute. Like, I knew about Thorngate, but I didn't know these motherfuckers were spying on me, too. You know what I mean? Which we later find out that it's Cyrus, right? Who sort of is
Cyrus
using that shit.
Motherfucking Rutherford. So he stops when he finds out, like, oh, shit, they know about my personal shit. Boyfriend with all the details from Fitz. Fitz is so jealous. So jealous. That's what this is about, I think. And they make out against a tree and they're going so hard and the Secret Service turn their back. And Olivia says, I am not yours. I don't show up places because you want me. I am not yours. This is over.
Yeah. So good. How many times has it been over, Olivia? God damn.
Oh, well, this is just the beginning of the Scandal Rewatch podcast. And we're about to be Fitz and Liv are on, they're off. They're on, they're off. They're on, they're off.
Another one of the scenes that happens a little bit earlier before this this hunting scene with Fitz and Olivia is a scene with Abby and Harrison when they're going to check in on Monica, who is the supposedly the other woman who knows that Artie knows about Thorngate and took Thorngate. Their back and forth is just so good. I wrote down, it's so classic buddy cop vibes. I love them together.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah, I wrote, it's so satisfying to the ear and to the eyes. It's also very, when Harry met Sally, it's just that back and forth. they just mesh and meld so well together, those two characters. And of course, Darby and Columbus, like, had the best chemistry.
Oh, where is that spinoff?
Right?
I want that procedural. Oh, I want so that good. Fucking Abby Harrison spinoff, Good Cop, Bad Cop, Law and Order. I love watching them handle cases.
Yeah. And so we find her dead. We find Monica dead. Yeah. And she's dead. Yeah.
She dead. I don't even know what the fucking body count is by episode 203 that we're at it, Scandal. Like, how many people have died?
Right? That would be kind of a cool, like, little side thing that we figure out is the body count.
But I also gotta say, I love the scene. Fitz comes back from the hunting scene with Liv, and he's a dick to Melly. And this whole episode, he's been, like, nice to Melly, and they've sort of been reconnecting over, like, designing the nursery because the baby's coming, and Melly is folding baby clothes that have been gifted to them from Queen Elizabeth, which is, like... Queen Elizabeth was alive at the time. Like,
right? I know. Like,
it's so bizarre to me. It's just so weird.
I know. And Fitz is like, you know, you could get somebody to fold those clothes. And that's when she's like, no, these were gifted by the queen. I'll fold these baby clothes.
Exactly.
It also made me think, like, oh, God, kids. I don't know how y'all do it. I was like, I've said this before and I'll say it again.
I don't know how I do it either.
Listen, I got four goldfish and sometimes I'm like, I gotta feed them today again? Like, I'm stressed out. I'm like, oh, these fucking fish. I gotta clean this tank. I can't imagine having, like, live human beings running around. You gotta keep them alive.
Have you had a goldfish die yet?
Oh, all the time, yeah. But these have lasted over a year. They're goldfish. I've buried a couple in my backyard, but usually you just flush them down the toilet.
But yes. Bellamy is folding baby clothes from Queen Elizabeth, and they're in a great place, her and Fitz. And then he goes to this hunting thing, and when he comes back, he a dick. He's so mean to Melly. And Melly goes right up to Hal and Tom, the Secret Service, and she's like, what the hell happened while they were hunting? And they are quiet.
And this, like, scene, that scene is one of my favorite scenes in this episode, too.
Me too.
Ugh. Where she's trying to get out of them. Why? She's like, why is my husband being a dick?
Basically. Yeah, and she's like fine, what you can't happened? Tell me. Blink. Just blink a few times. I'm going to list a bunch of names and you can tell me who he saw out there and why, what's affected him. And she names all these people, like Cyrus, his mother, all these people. And then she goes, Olivia Pope. And
Hal is like,
Hal winks and her whole face changes in the only way that Bellamy Young can do. And she's like, thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah. Oh, it's such a great, fun scene. And the way Melly says, flutter your eyelashes for a girl. Oh, Bellamy is just so good.
Flutter your eyelashes for a girl. There are some moments where Bellamy is a Southern belle. I don't know very many Southern women. Do you?
I don't either. No. And Bellamy, like you said, she was like the first, like, Southern belle, if you will, that I've met. But to that level of the most loving, kind, lovely person, like, that you could meet. Yeah.
I know. And they write to that.
Yes.
And then I wrote down, Olivia shows network head Thorngate, his wife at home. Oh, right. So then she calls in all these big dogs and to prove, like, Thorngate is a real thing.
Isn't it the network people? Is it the network people?
Oh, that's what it is. Yes.
And because they're like, we're not going to show this shit. Yeah,
right. It's the people who are going to tell the American people, essentially on primetime news.
Yes.
That this shit is going down.
And then, so Olivia tells Huck, show the footage. And it's footage, like you were saying, of this head of the network's wife with their baby and talking to her friend. And he's like, oh my God, that's like my bedroom and my wife. You know, this is a real thing.
And isn't she talking shit about him? And, like,
she is. She's like, you know, he could maybe go to the gym once in a while. He's like, shut it down, turn it off. I get it.
It's about the gym. In my head, she's like, my husband's dick is flaccid, like, no Viagra is working. I'm so not satisfied in the bedroom. It's something in that arena. And something then he's like, shut it down.
Yes.
I know it's real. And then I just wrote, we find out that, wait, I have to pee. I'm going to pee my pants.
Yeah.
Hold, listeners.
Holding.
We'll be right back after I go pee pee.
Ha ha ha! Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
And we're back from that quick pee-pee break.
So now
what happens? Okay, we find out that Artie killed Monica. Oh, this is when this whole fucking, we find out that
the shit goes down.
Huck has been had.
Yes, he sure has. All by grilled cheese.
Delicious. The demise.
It was the grilled cheese, the old grilled cheese demise of 2013.
Wait, so what happens? You're like making lunch or something?
Yeah, well, Artie's making grilled cheese and Huck is sort of, you know, he's hacked into the firewall and he's happy that he was able to do it. It didn't take 22 days, as he stated earlier in the episode. And then all of a sudden, you know, a smoke alarm starts going off and Huck gets up from his computer and goes to open the window. And then we see that Artie goes to Huck's computer and pulls out the external drive and puts it in his pocket and leaves. And Huck was hoodlewinked. Well, Huck thinks at first that Artie's going to the bathroom. So Artie goes to the bathroom, closes the door, and then he gets a call from Olivia. And Olivia's like, "Where's Artie?" And Huck is like, "Oh, he's in the bathroom again." And Olivia's like, "Break down the door. Break down the door now.
Yeah,
yo, I just say really fast, I low-key like thought I had dislocated my shoulder in this scene.
No.
Because I had to keep banging into that door.
No.
I'm not even kidding. And my shit was like, gluck. And you know, I was trying to keep it together because I was like, what? I can't stop like shooting and be like, you guys, like, I think I dislocated my shoulder. So freaking bad.
My God, Guillermo, you poor fucking thing. Actors are so fucking stupid. Like, of course, like the first couple takes, you're like so into it and you're
yes.
like acting the shit out of the scene. So like you're gonna like, I'm gonna fucking break down the door and like Olivia's yelling at you and
all then
of
you're
this.
Like,
and then you're
I
like,
broke
oh,
my
shit.
Clavicle.
Yeah, yes. I don't know.
But bust how it was for me, it was like the second take. I was like, oh, there goes my shoulder.
Oh,
oh my God. And Ron was like, one more time. And I was like,
oh,
okay.
God.
Anyway, I was fine. It wasn't dislocated, but it felt like it.
Still, you really committed.
Yeah. So now Artie's on the lam. Artie's gone, right?
Artie's gone. He's got all the information. He's literally the most powerful person in the universe. He can spy on anybody at any time. And all I wrote after that is Abby says how did this happen? Abby's talking to Olivia like, no, you've made two mistakes. This mistake on Artie fucking Hornbacher, who just mm-hmm. fucking hoodwinked us, and Lindsay fucking Dwyer.
Yeah,
was
she's
our
still
other
on
mistake.
That Lindsay Dwyer shit, yeah.
Oh, I know. Get over it, Abby.
Get
Jesus.
Over. Get over her.
Get over her.
Can we talk about, have we talked about this scene yet? That scene where where Melly says that memorable line, get over her to fix.
Yes, that's coming.
We're getting to that. Gotcha, gotcha.
That's the next one. But wait, really quick, right before that, they come to get us at Olivia Pope and Associates. And all I wrote down was that we are standing in key formation, people.
Yes.
Like, they open up the doors to get us. And like, it's the office. We're essentially making like a diamond.
Yes.
And I don't remember if it was this episode or another episode, but whenever we were like standing in that formation and had to stand in it forever because shooting takes so long, I feel like we were trying to make like dance routines happen because it felt like we were in a music video formation.
I think that's in the blooper reel too, where we're in that formation and we're all like busting out dancing. Yeah.
We have to post that when this episode comes out and watch it. Because whenever I see Olivia Pope and Associates in a shot, where we're in like standing formation.
Behind her,
I feel like
yeah.
We always were like, and this is when we do Rhythm Nation.
Yeah.
And then we switch back over to the White House and Melly has the best fucking scene ever. She's been stewing and brewing because Fitz has been a dick since he got back from hunting season with Olivia. And she says, get over her.
And Fitz says something like, I don't know what get over her.
Guillermo, I am so fucking impressed by your impression of that. Like, I just did it once and I was like, oh, I'm not gonna be able to talk for a week. Like, and then she says, you see her again and I'll blow you away. And I'm an excellent shot.
The way she delivers that line too, she does it with like sort of with a relish, right? And sort of with a smile and a smirk.
Yes.
She says, I'll blow you away.
She's like satiated.
And I'm an excellent shot. Don't forget. Yeah. Oh, so good.
And she's so
good.
Like, you know, obviously the whole episode is about hunting and all these metaphors for hunting season and shooting. And we get to Huck finds Artie and Ruh-roh.
Ruh-roh.
He's got his toolbox, or however you say toolbox in Espanol.
La caja de herramientas.
La caja de herramientas.
Herramientas. Yeah, very good.
Oh, thanks.
But it's one of the first times on the show, right, that we see the toolbox. We see it in season one, but I think this might be the second time where we see that infamous red toolbox.
Yep. And then the bitch baby starts to fucking run away, and Gia's like, I'm gonna dart your ass.
I'm gonna dart your ass with this fucking
poison ass shit.
Sleepy dart.
Yes.
But first, we realize that Huck has tracked Artie because Artie stole one of Huck's watches, which, a little side note, a little fun fact, Huck would keep the watches of the people that he would torture and murder. So he has, like, boxes full of these watches. I don't know if you remember that, Katie.
I do not.
Artie Farty stole one of Huck's watches, which have radium, which is really easy to track, and that's how Huck found Artie Farty.
Farty, you fucking moron.
Yup.
Wait, did it say in the script that Huck takes the watches of his?
No,
of his...
that's from 752.
Wow.
We don't find that out till 752. Yeah, but the writers and the, you know, they already knew about that, I'm assuming, because in this episode he has that box full of watches that Artie pulls out. And Huck is like, don't fuck with that.
Got it.
Yeah.
I love it. Then we cut to the bar. We've got the line that.
Oh, the best.
We're standing at the bar. Me, Darby in the middle, Harrison on the end. And Quinn is like, God, man, Artie fucking had us, man. He fucking, it was perfect. And he fucked us. Like, holy shit. That was unbelievable how he did it. And then Abby says, yeah, it takes one to know one. And I'm like, you know what? Screw you. Fucking screw you. Screw your fucking mother's mother. Screw your father. Screw everybody. Screw yourself straight to hell.
Go to hell
yourself.
And then screw yourself there again.
Yep. Yeah, go to hell and screw yourself there too. Because I'm fucking done with this. I am not Lindsay. I am Quinn and I am here to stay. And then Harrison so beautifully says, I'm Quinn, bitch.
Quinn, bitch. Which
and
is
that was
so good.
Hashtag on Twitter.
I'm Quinn,
for
bitch.
Like the rest of my experience, like any single time for the next 7 seasons, 8 years of my life, anytime Quinn fucking kicked ass, it was a hashtag I'm Quinn, bitch.
I'm
and
Quinn,
I'm so fucking
bitch.
Grateful to Maddie Byrne and the Scandal Writers for that gift.
Yes.
Because it was the best.
Well, and it was also a little, a little nod, a little salute to Britney Spears, because in Britney Spears says, I'm Britney, bitch.
I'm Quinn, bitch happens. It's the best. And Edison says he's the client now because they've kicked him off the intelligence team. Huck says that he didn't hurt Artie and that he's handling
it. Too much. Yeah, he says, I didn't hurt him too much. So, you know, he did a little bit of damage. But yeah, and Olivia's a little bit concerned that she sort of opened this door, this torturing door. But Huck is like, nah, I'm good. I got this. Don't worry about it.
And the episode fucking ends.
Yeah.
With Rosen and Abby going to Bone Town.
Going to Bone Town, everybody. And that's where Abby and Rosen went.
They're going to Bone Town, and it seems like it's pretty good.
Yeah, I feel like the gladiators lost their shit in this scene right at the end of this episode, because it was like, what? I don't think anyone expected that.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? For these two.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I feel like when we read it at the table read, we were like, what?
Yeah.
Like, it was a total, total left field shocker. Shock, shock, shock.
Yeah.
And it's the beginning of their amazing, interesting, tumultuous, exciting relationship.
I know.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Tweet, 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 tweet of the time.
All right, yo, let's get into our favorite.
The tweets of the time are getting good, guys.
They are getting good. They're getting better. I'm really happy with these. There's a couple that I'm like, this shit is so good. Katie tweeted, my besties are coming over for popcorn and wine with their Grays ABC and Scandal ABC. How will you be watching?
Oh, God. Somebody beat me up. Gross. That's such a goody two-shoe tweet. Like, I was like, ew, that's so gross. It's like, okay, everybody, my besties are coming over. Oh, God, gross.
I love it.
At Jess Florence writes, it's been weird, like seeing a grandma in a bikini or a Democrat with a Bible. Hashtag scandal, hashtag hilarious.
I love that.
And then at Sharif Jackson wrote, longest shoelacing scene ever. Hashtag scandal. I bet that's true. I think if we went in the Guinness Book of World Records for any scene on television that had shoelacing going on, that was probably the longest one.
But also so like sexual, so sexy. And it was merely the act of, tying her shoelaces.
Ooh.
But it was still filled with
so much sexual
tension.
Listen to this one. Why are they so surprised they know about the Olivia Prezi horny night calls? Hashtag scandal. Olivia and President both scream at each other and are unstable. Just get a room again. Hashtag scandal.
Peachy J said, but how does the president kiss Olivia Pope in front of his Secret Service? Hashtag scandal. How else is he going to do it? His Secret Service is around him 24/7. But kissy face don't care.
He just wants that good ass. He just wants them beautiful Olivia Pope lips on his lips, and he doesn't care who wants to watch it. Like,
okay.
He is, like,
he's down a clown.
Yeah, he's down a clown. Episode 204 is next week. Episode 204 is titled Beltway Unbuckle.
Oh, yes.
I remember this episode, and it's amazing.
I do, too.
Come back, tell your friends, like, subscribe, get all your family and friends to watch, because all you gladiators, you're all out there and you got nowhere to go to put all your scandal gladiator love. So bring it here. So thank you for listening.
Gracias.
How do we wrap out? Oh,
pope it out.
We love you guys. Have
love
a
you
great
guys.
Week.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye. Thank you guys for joining us on Unpacking the Toolbox. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, share with your friends, rate, or leave us a review.
Scandal is executive produced by Sandy Bailey, Alex Alche, Lauren Homan, Tyler Klang, and Gabrielle Collins. Our producer and editor is Vince DiGianni, with music by Chad Fisher.
Scandal is a production of ABC Signature, and you can follow along by rewatching Scandal on Hulu.
Unpacking the Toolbox is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, visit the iHeartRadio app or anywhere you subscribe to your favorite shows.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.